From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, out of the office today. So no update of the commodity markets, however. We will take a look at variable rate technology, or VRT, as it's being adopted on the farm. This is just beginning to happen broadly, and it's available from many fertilizer and chemical dealers. However, farmers are wondering whether it's worthwhile, and we'll talk about that today during this edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're joined by Dennis Bowman from University of Illinois Extension to talk a little bit about variable rate technology and its application on the farm. I caught up with Dennis and asked him what it was he's been doing for Extension over the years and how that's incorporated into his work.
I've been in Extension for 39 and a half years. Since the mid-1990s, I've been working on the developing area of precision ag with GPS and how that has been added to our tool set and using yield monitors and variable rate, and then on into the use of drones and aerial imagery in field crop production.
Are you conducting or have you been conducting research in this area?
Yes. Early on, I worked especially with variable rate nitrogen work, and then also worked with a few other people on phosphorus and potassium projects as well.
How does soil type, maybe topography, impact VRT?
So as we need to come up with a way to make these prescription maps. And so we've got to understand what some of the underlying characteristics of the field are. And so we can use soil type information, the topography of the field, the soil test information to try to figure out where that variability is and then make the decision about how that may affect what kind of rates we want to put in there. So if it's if there's a lot of variation in soil type in a field and you've got some really poorer soil types that may not respond to high plant populations, we can adjust seeding rates down in those areas of the fields where you don't have as much potential, possibly. So we can look at those kind of things, and we'll look at, as a base, generally for fertility recommendations, we try to start with a grid sample, the 2.5-acre grids, to get a good idea of what's going on in the field. There's some debate in the industry about using grid samples versus samples that are designed by soil type and topography. My preference is to start with a basic grid sample to try to find areas that are low. Because sometimes as we've progressed in agriculture, our fields have gotten larger, and that means that we've taken farmsteads out of production, out of buildings, and put them back into field space, taken barn lots and incorporated those into fields, combined smaller fields into bigger fields. And that history sometimes brings a legacy with it, with the nutrient availability in those fields. So finding those spots that are kind of man-made or induced is something you can do with a good grid sample. And then as we go farther into the area, we can start looking at the soil types and the topography to try to create zones in the field. So you hear this management zone concept as we're trying to develop variable rate applications. And so that helps us get a more accurate representation of the what's happening in the field. But we need that grid to start things off, and then we can build these zones that'll aggregate the data in the field. And so we can make management recommendations and changes using our variable rate technology to do that. So there's some benefits to doing that.
To this point, we've talked about agronomic types of functions, meaning aimed at profit, relatively speaking. Are there ancillary functions of this that would impact water quality and soil health? And then the follow-up question is, can you actually target it and have a different view of what VRT does?
So we talk in the, with fertility, we talk a lot about the four R's and making sure we've got the right rate in the right place. And so that's a lot of what variable rate does. Picking out those areas where you don't need to be applying a lot of fertilizer because you already have, or it's naturally there, and not putting a full rate on those areas. So doing a more accurate job of applying the nutrients often results in applying less nutrients. Not always, but over time, that's one of our goals, is to not put out excess nutrients that we don't need in certain areas. And so that comes back in the area of nutrient loss.
What are the next things coming down the pipeline in research?
So we're looking at, in addition to varying the rate, to doing a more accurate job of placement. I think that's a lot of what some of the newer research is how we apply that, and where we put those nutrients more in relation to where the plant's going to be. And so how we incorporate some of that placement technology with the variable rate technology is an area that I think folks are going to be looking into.
That's Dennis Bowman. He's with University of Illinois Extension and located here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I at Southern Illinois University. Assistant Professor of Soil Management and Cropping Systems Amir Sadapur has been doing some VRT research in Carbondale. I asked him to tell me a little bit about what he's been up to.
Here at SIU, my position mainly requires me to conduct research and also to teach. I teach most of the upper level course related to soil at SIU. My research goal is to improve farm profitability and reduce environmental footprints. And with have that in mind, most of my research is mostly related to integrated cropping systems and nutrient management, and how designing better cropping systems and improving nutrient management can impact soil health. I'm very interested in cover crops, their management, how they fit within our cropping systems to improve nutrient cycling and also soil health without impacting farm economics. And also I'm very interested in precision nutrient management, especially nitrogen management in corn.
Have you used that kind of management or the variable rate technology in some of your integrated cropping systems?
Yeah, so I'm currently collaborating with Dr. Josh McGrath at the University of Kentucky on a precision and management project that is funded by Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council for Illinois sites. And we also have funding coming from Kentucky Corn Grower Association for his part of the funding to do the collaborative project. So what we've seen is that due to the a lot of spatial and temporal variability that exists in the soil, and as we are observing it in our yield map, and due to the changes in weather, the nitrogen need of the corn can be different from one year to another or one site to another. So we think that our current nitrogen recommendation, which is MRTN, that is a maximum return to nitrogen, is accurate, but is not precise. That means, for example, if we have 20 fields, on average, MRTN can predict the optimum nitrogen rate right. But if you go to each of those fields, it could be wrong in many of them. So approaches like MRTN are heavily relying on empirical relationship between yield and nitrogen rate. Our goal with our project is to move towards a more mechanistic approach, such as using sensor-based nitrogen management. And currently, Illinois farmers do not have access to regionally specific sensor-based algorithm for variable rate nitrogen management.
Can VRT impact water quality and soil health on that regional wide basis?
Basically, yes. So the goal of variable rate, I'm speaking of nitrogen for this instance, is to get the rate right at every part of the field compared to a flat rate application. So when you go ahead and apply one rate as a flat rate, like what MRTN suggests to us, we are applying nitrogen, for example, higher in some parts of the field and lower in the other parts. So I think there are some trade-offs there. For example, in terms of water quality, if you're applying higher than what the crop can remove, that nitrogen that you're applying compared to the nitrogen that is being removed, results in positive, highly positive nitrogen balances. That means we will end up with high residual nitrogen at the end of the growing season, and especially if you're not using cover crops, we have a great potential to lose nitrogen, which would basically decrease water quality. On the other hand, when we are applying nitrogen less than what the crop is needed, that means that we are not maximizing our yield potential, or yield's going to be lower. That means the input that we are adding to the soil is less, for example, the roots or the residue of the corn, and that can impact soil organic matter levels. Excess nitrogen application can also affect soil organic matter. It can accelerate microbial activity and then reduce soil organic matter. I think there are opportunities to reduce the water quality issues and also make sure that the soil organic matter levels are at least staying as they should and not reducing because of low N application rates.
Given all of that, what direction do you think the research will go in the future as it's related to the variable rate technology?
One of the things that we are seeing, and it's very hard to predict, is weather. So weather impacts a lot of our management decisions. If we could integrate predictive models that can predict weather more accurately with our approaches, for example, for nitrogen management, we would be able to do a much better nitrogen management in our farms, and that could allow us to be more profitable and at the same time reduce the environmental footprints.
Wouldn't that require the weather models to be able to predict the size of events as well as the number of inches of rainfall that might come?
That's very true. So now what we are seeing is that the intensity of rainfalls are getting more. We are seeing like maybe less number of rainfalls, but actually more intensity when they come, and that all are influencing our management decisions and the way we farm. So yeah, I think they should be able to do that to help us do a better management practices.
I'm wondering whether that is on a short-term basis, meaning when do I apply and what does the event look like within the next, I don't know, 10 or 15 days, or whether it's when do I apply and how much and what do the events look like over the duration of the season.
So if we know either both of them, actually, if we can have a duration of the growing season and be able to do a better prediction models for those, that would be amazing. That would allow us to be much more efficient in the way we manage nitrogen. But it's at this point, it's been a little bit challenging. And that's because just the weather is so hard to predict. And unfortunately, agriculture is so weather dependent.
Do you have any advice on how farmers should adopt VRT into their operations?
I would say that the growers, first of all, they should look at the size of their farm, the scale of their farming, and whether this variable rate technology would provide the benefits they're looking for them. Does it make sense economically for them to adopt it? Another one is to wait for the science to do the job, make sure we have correct and accurate algorithms to help them adopt the management and make sure that they would certainly benefit from that. So I would say it could be different from one farm to another, but overall, I think the benefits are there. Whether it makes sense for them economically, that's the point.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, Amir Sadapur is an assistant professor and researcher of integrated cropping systems and soil management at SIU in Carbondale, Illinois. Brian Corkill is a farmer from Henry County, Illinois, and has been collecting yield data since the mid-1990s, and he now joins us. Thank you, Brian, for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and welcome to the program today.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I'm glad to talk to you again. I'll introduce myself. I'm Brian Corkill. I'm a fifth-generation farmer who farms with my dad in southeast Henry County and northeast Stark County. We primarily raise corn and soybeans.
Do you use variable rate technology?
Yeah, we do use variable rate technology, and we did start back in the 90s. Obviously, as you had mentioned, that we had already been collecting yield data starting in the mid-90s. We started using variable rate technology for lime, and I think a lot of guys that kind of got started down that path, the lime was the easy button for starting with variable rate technology. But now in our operation, we use variable rate technology in every aspect. So we use it for lime application, fertilizer application in the fall. So we will broadcast fertilizer ahead of soybeans. We'll have our retailer do that. I mentioned that I strip tilled ahead of corn. I have a Kraus strip till bar with a Montag Generation 2 fertilizer system on that. So I can variable rate two separate products through that system, dry fertilizer. We also put on anhydrous in the fall. We don't variable rate the anhydrous in the fall, but I put on a minimal rate, so I put on 100 pounds of N that's anhydrous, so that would be roughly 119 pounds of anhydrous, but actually 100 pounds of N in the fall. And then I'll also in the spring, I'll put on a flat rate of N with our herbicide program, but then I'll make 1 to 2 passes. We have a Higgy sprayer, we have Y drops, and so I can variable rate that. So we will actually variable rate in during the growing season. We also do variable rate planting as well, so corn and soybeans both. So we're using variable rate in basically every aspect of our farming operation.
And do you use it on every acre of the farm?
Yeah, we use it on every acre. We will, a lot of it, we take into account soil tests, historic yield maps, which that's kind of something that's come out, it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago, but being able to use historic yield maps and using our soil tests, and then we take into account how, drainage and things like that. So we can affect drainage on farms we own, but on farms we rent, we may not be able to really change the drainage. So we do take that into account, bring in weather forecasts and things like that. So that helps us try to, and it's important to get a good weather forecast from a long-term standpoint so that then we can make decisions to kind of drive our planting prescriptions and things like that. So it's seems complicated, but really it isn't. So
clearly you're conservation minded. Did VRT, was it adopted because of the conservation practices, economics, both?
I would say that we adopted VRT at the beginning from a conservation standpoint, I wouldn't say it's necessarily been economic. I think at the end of the day that we probably spend fairly close to the same amount on inputs, you know, as far as fertilizer and lime and things like that. Maybe not lime so much, but more on the fertilizer side. We just redistribute the dollars within the field. So we pick out, you know, the lower producing areas we try to maintain. The higher producing areas will actually put on more fertilizer and try to drive yields higher in the higher producing areas. So we'll typically look at a field and split it up into a 20-60-20 split. So the 20% of the lowest producing areas may get less fertilizer because they don't produce as much. The middle 60% or the average is what I would call them. We kind of keep kind of what we've always been doing. We may tweak it a little bit depending on the field, but kind of what we've always been doing, well, the middle 60% would be that way. And then the highest yielding 20% will actually try to push fertility and push yields there. So we have actually gotten higher yields that way, and not really spent a whole lot more on dollars for inputs.
On the low 20%, does the maintenance work?
So we probably go, a lot of our farms that we've been farming for a long time, we've probably over applied in the past in some of those areas. So we may be a little bit below maintenance on some of those areas, and we're still getting the same yields, especially where we strip till corn. So we're probably running three-quarters rate on fertilizer where we strip till, and that has worked, and we've been able to maintain our soil tests because we're applying it in a band in a higher concentration, so the efficiency is a lot better. And then ahead of soybeans, obviously, as I said, we broadcast that, but yeah, we've been able to kind of keep yields at least status quo, if not better, on the lower yielding areas, and improved it on the higher yielding areas because we pushed fertility a little bit more there. So.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Corkill is with BA Farms in Henry County, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.